Welcome to the Parent Equation Podcast with me, Aisha Murray. This podcast series is full of inspiring stories from working parents who are passionate about designing a life that works for them and their families. Working parents like you who want a purposeful, rewarding career alongside a balanced family life. Today, I'm joined by Camille Labulba. Camille is the founder of Upon a Time, which focuses on parenting well-being and parenting skills. Also works within the NHS, so a double juggle there, and is a working mum and an expat. So welcome, Camille.
Hi, Aisha. Thanks for having me.
It's nice to be here. So expats, you're from Normandy in France.
Yes.
Now obviously live here in the UK. And as I just mentioned, you definitely have what I think is the double juggle, where you obviously have the working parent juggle, but you also have a job in the NHS.
Yes.
And alongside, you run your own parenting skills and well-being business as well. So how does that all, I suppose, work for you from a practical point of view?
Yes. So I think it has been a long journey, no? When you have your kids, usually you take a break, no? You have your maternity leave. And so you have time to think about like what's next, no, in our life. I think for moms, for what I can see with my patients and the parents I'm working with, it's always a bit more tricky, maybe to put it in those words. Not always, but a lot of time, mom has to stay with the baby, obviously. And you can feel guilty about not working anymore, or missing, you know, this work life, or feeling that your partner is providing and you're not anymore, you know, having the lot of mixed feelings. Mm-hmm. And all the hormones in your body still. So it's a lot it's a bit overwhelming. So I think it started like that. I was on maternity leave. It started before, actually, because I used to work in the fashion industry and was long hours, a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. But then we started to travel for my husband's work. And so we were living in Spain at that time. Then we started moving. So we went to Mexico City for a few months. I got pregnant. I had my baby. So it was quite natural because at that time I wasn't working. I didn't have the paperwork to do so. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't working. It was a good time to do that. And so then it was quite natural. I had my baby. So I was on maternity leave, like I said. And it was me thinking about what I'm going to do next, like, because I want to work, but I don't want to work these crazy hours. Mm-hmm. To go to parties at night and having to do, because I want to be a mom. And you know, you don't have, for me, I didn't want it to have a child and not be able to be with my kid. Mm-hmm. So some people do, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, in my opinion, and what I wanted to do as a mom was to be able to work but also be with my child. And so, and then it happens we had to move to London for my husband's job. And here I was giving this course. I took the course, Being a Parent. And I loved it. And I saw it as an opportunity to make friends, practice my English, because I was speaking in Spanish for so many years. So I forgot my English. And so it was an opportunity. And then there, it was through NHS. And then they offered to parents who had took this course to take a training and to become a parent group leader. Mm-hmm. And so it started like that. And it was very natural because they would provide a crèche. So my kid would be in the crèche for 2 hours. It was a few months of training. So for a few hours, she was in a crèche next to me. They would call me. It was never like I never feel it was forced or something difficult for me. So she was there in a crèche. I was studying and training. And then little by little, I took another training. And I started working through NHS. But it was always with the flexibility. So they would offer me courses with a time, a day, and I would take it or not. So I was able to make my timetable. And then when my daughter grew up, I decided I wanted to work, but it had to be on the time when she was at school, so from 9 to 3 in the afternoon, so part-time job. And so then, so over the years, I've been training for new courses, and so I've been working with families, I've been working with NHS, I was happy. Because I'm still working there, I have those same holidays. So when she's on holidays, I'm on holidays. So I was able to juggle that, and it was so nice, and I was proud. And also my job, I really like my new job, I have to say. I've loved working in fashion before, but it was also at another time of my life. I was younger. You know, your expectations, your dreams, everything is different, no?
I think that's really interesting to me about that journey is that, A, it's very organic and natural. And it just seems like you sort of followed a path that's appeared before you and taken opportunities with no great expectation or pressure. And it's worked out really well. And it also demonstrates that you've gone obviously from a career in fashion, quite different to a career with parents in NHS. But that's work too. And I think we often get a bit fixated that we have to stay in a career that we've done for so long. And it's therefore too difficult or there's too much challenge to move into a completely different sphere. But for you, you've proved on two counts that you can, that is possible, and it's possible to get something that works for you and is flexible for you as well.
Yes, I think that's what people think, that we study to do some kind of job, and then if we don't do it like forever or moving from one company to another, then we cannot reinvent ourselves. But we can, you know, it's like just follow like your new dreams, your new goals, your new purpose, and also your circumstances. Because one day you can be living in your own country and one day you can be for work or whatever reason, have to move to another country. And it's not the end of the world, you know, it's always you like just think about what you can do in this new place or in this new circumstance of life. And yes. So after that it was so I reinvented myself and I was working in this new job, and now my daughter, she's bigger, so you know they have a lot of activities after school, and so it's not, you're still flexible with your and so this year, talking about goals and purpose and what you want to do with your life, I was thinking, I'm going to be 40. And for years, I wanted to have my company. So when I was in fashion, I was already thinking, I would have to have a shop with different brands, imported brands from everywhere. And I already have this dream at that time. And then when we moved from one country to another, so I couldn't do that. But this year, I was like, I'm going to be 40. And also COVID came and I could see there was like an opportunity. I felt that there was an opportunity for me to open my private practice. And so I said in September, I said, okay, I'm going to set up my website. I'm going to start advertising. I'm going to start, just not to live on what if, you know, a lot of people are telling you, oh, and what if I had done that? And what if? I've never lived this way. I was always like going for what I thought my heart wanted or what I thought was a good. And I think you had the kind of the same experience, no? You
achieved definitely. And that what if, I mean, most people who know me know that I've got a what if. I would probably have it tattooed on my arm if I was going down that route. But the what if it works out? What if this could be the best decision I ever make? It's that kind of reframing, I think, of that negative what if. That is so powerful.
Yes. Yeah, it does work. Yeah.
And then how's your expat? So obviously you came, not only did you change career, but you came to the UK as a mum.
Yes.
Having had your child in a different country. So you were then adapting to new life, expat life.
Yes.
New business, new career, all happening at the same time. I suppose, did your experience of being an expat help you in any way? Does it help? Did it give you some different sort of perspective on coming to a new country as a mum?
Yes, I mean, if you speak some languages, it's great. So it's not as difficult, I would say, than people that might move here and don't speak the language, and it's a big barrier. So, I already was speaking English, not worse than that. So I'm not still at the level I would like it to be. My Spanish is fluent, so that's why I'm always comparing both. But I would say, I mean, it's different. In the working life, it's different. For parents, it's really different because childcare is really difficult here. Mm. So prices, it's like you have to make that choice. Do I want to go? At one point, I was like, should I go back to fashion and work? But then big part of my salary would go to childcare. Mm-hmm. So is it worth it, you know, for me to work, not being with my child and not making really a lot of money? Or, you know, so you have to take those choices. It depends the country you're moving in. Some countries is going to be really easy with childcare and they can go to childcare a few hours. I don't know. But I feel for me it was really difficult, my career and my mom plans. So I needed to think of something else. I was okay with changing career, so it was not for me, or I need to go back. I really loved it, but I saw it was not possible. Working in fashion, it's a lot of hours, and unless you've lived in the, you know, it's your homeland, so you've lived there, you have your network, so you can find a flexible job because you know people. But coming to a new country, you don't have any network, so it's really difficult. And so then, yeah, I find it was difficult to juggle the mom life because also it was making new friends. So it was starting from scratch. So we knew some people, but, you know, having friends that or mom friends you can go on a walk with. And so it was, yeah, starting everything all over again. And at the beginning, it's really overwhelming, but, you know, in the end, you can do it. That's what I was saying before, little by little, not trying to accomplish big when really there is so many things you need to work on, no? So, yes, it came, yeah, it was naturally. And also in my situation, I have my husband, so he was the one. I didn't have to worry like, oh, I need to find a job today and be a mom. How I'm going to manage all that? So yeah, expat life, it's not easy, but now we've been living here for 7 years. We have a lot of friends. I was able to find my way. I was able to raise my kids, see all the first thing, first word, first steps, first everything. And she has a very secure attachment, so I'm proud of that, you know. And now, yes, this year I'm starting my new practice. So it's once upon a time a parent. So it's going well. I only have a few hours I can use in the week to do that. It's 5 hours, so I can give 5 sessions. But it's really rewarding because sometimes some weeks it works really well. Some other weeks I don't have anybody, but I'm doing my thing again. Mm-hmm. Little by little, you know, and I'm really relaxed about it. And if it was something that wouldn't work in the future, you know, it's just like, okay, I've tried. Mm-hmm. So I don't have any regrets. Basically, it's this, not having any regrets, no?
Yeah, I think obviously in what you're saying, being open to change.
Yes.
And being open to the opportunities and the excitement that change can bring. And again, yeah, that practical mindset, if it's not going to work out, that's okay. There's a plan B, or there's something you've got out of this experience, even if it doesn't work out fully.
Yes, totally.
And then we talked about, before we started recording, we talked about mindfulness a bit, because obviously the working parent juggle is hugely overwhelming. And then to add on top your double working juggle, plus the expat's life, etc. So for you, there'd be, in theory, a lot of potential to be overwhelmed. Not having a support network that you would have had when you first moved here, family and friends, etc. So you would have been quite susceptible, I think, to having those feelings of overwhelm and anxiety. So how have you managed to, I suppose, get some mindfulness into your life?
Yes. I think, I mean, I'm telling you now as if it's natural. It was not easy, but it was okay. Obviously, you have all those moments of very big doubts. Should I go back to my country? Should I stay here? Like, is there a future here? Are we happy? You are constantly questioning yourself, no? But it doesn't have to be something that will stop you from reaching what you would like to reach in life, you know? And so, yes, I've introduced, I think during COVID, people really started to focus a lot on mindfulness. Like, everything was so anxious, this, you know, massive anxiety outside and everything. And so it was like, how do we cope without seeing our family for months? How do we cope being inside doors, school, you know, homeschooling and homeworking, everyone in different rooms? And I think, like, people I could see with the parents I'm working with and everybody, people started really to be like, how I'm going to cope? What can I do to help myself? What tools can I use? And so, yes, mindfulness. So mindfulness for me started much before that. I've always played the piano. And so without knowing it, I was already practicing mindfulness. So I started when I was really little, and it was always part of my life. And so during the pandemic, we were always with my daughter. We were making tunes and, you know, songs. And all the time we were doing that. And it felt so, you know, happy, and we really liked it. And so, yeah, my mindfulness practice was always playing the piano. But I have to say, people sometimes are reluctant with mindfulness because they think, when I'm like, you need to practice meditation. People say meditation, there is only one way of doing it. It's like sitting, closing your eyes, you know, open your, and just don't think about anything. But no, there's so many forms of meditation. So meditation can be playing an instrument, because you need to be focused and you cannot think about something else. Yep. So meditation can be so many things. If you're listening to a podcast but you are really in the moment and not thinking about what's happening tomorrow or yesterday, but just the podcast itself, it's meditation. Mm-hmm. So when I say that to parents, they're like, okay, I'm doing that sometimes. So they don't even realize that. But mindfulness has always been part of our lives in some kind of ways, you know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's about being present with whatever it is you're doing at that time.
Yes, exactly. If you're walking your dog, that I know you have a dog, and just looking at the flowers, the feeling of the sunshine on your face, and being in that moment, enjoying your dog, the walk, that's it.
Yeah.
So when you become aware of that, you can see that you're doing a lot of mindfulness practices in your day. Right now, you are practicing mindfulness because you are trying to really understand my French accent. So, you know, it's like all day, it's in your day. And then what I do a lot, and I do it with my daughter, and I always recommend parents to do that when their children start talking, when they're little, practice gratitude every day. Mm. So, you know, in your bedtime routine with your kids, just say, what were the good in your day? What was positive for you? You know, it can be someone, it can be an activity you've done. But for them, to help them see that in a day there are more beautiful details and a lot of joy, more than when you ask, and what was the wrong today, what didn't go well, or what. Then I can always see that the list of things she gives me, there's always one or two things she didn't like and a lot of things.
I think also when you're in that moment, because I think often we all do it, don't we? If you've had a bad day and someone asks, how was your day? Your initial reaction is going to be everything that went wrong. So I think something that I certainly see in my daughter, my youngest daughter, who's 8, if she starts going through the things that gone wrong, I'll let her say it, because obviously it's important for her to share those details, but always ask her, okay, that's fine, but what went well? pick out a couple of things, and then immediately she kind of seems to shift into a kind of, actually, yeah, it wasn't, maybe the day wasn't as bad as I thought because I did this with so-and-so and I played this game and I read this book. So I think I just allowing them to get some things off their chest, but then hopefully ending it with a, again, reframing it into a more positive experience.
Yes, that's wonderful. Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, it's mindfulness. And for the kids, but also for ourselves, like being able to self-regulate ourselves, you know. So having all these daily habits, taking those micro steps that will help you juggle with everything again. Because, you know, when you have to drop off the kids, coming back in a rush, you have your first session, you have to go somewhere for your work. And you know the day is going to be until 3 o'clock for me because I'm part-time. And you know that you're going to have all those things to do. And then you're coming back and you have homework, taking them to activities. And it's a never ending, but it's for you to organize your time. So when you're going to school for pickup or drop off, while you are alone, you can just, you know, listen to your favorite podcasts. So you have to maximize your time also for you to fill your cup, you know, to recover your energy and to have a good day and yes, and take things like slowly at your pace, relaxing. Sometimes it's not always slow and sometimes you have to rush, but knowing that after this meeting, you'll have 10 minutes to grab a cup of tea, send a few messages to your friend to organize something, whatever, and to focus on those things that make the day worth living.
Mm-hmm. And so there's small pockets of time, aren't there? We're not talking about taking an hour every day to go and, I'd say, meditate or do something. It's about pockets, small pockets of time, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, that you can fit in because you're probably doing something else like the school run. But in those 10 minutes is being absolutely focused or present on that 10 minutes for you.
Yes. And being able to say when you go to bed at night to be like, oh, today I had time to have a coffee with my neighbor, 15 minutes, it was nice. And, you know, to be able to be grateful for all this. And then, but then, I'm not lying to you, some weeks I feel I have so little time to do what I would like to achieve. And so I would like to do more marketing, or I would like to do, you know, like workshop on self-care or whatever. And I would like to organize those things. And then I see this, but I also have to send application for my daughter's new school. And then it's like, what is the priority? You know, you have some deadlines and so you have to organize. And sometimes it can feel not satisfying because on your working life journey, you would like to achieve more. Mm-hmm. But also then, if you want to feel good about yourself and feel relaxed and not being stressed, then it's, again, you have to take one step at a time and just follow your pace. You will, you know, maybe achieve it, but the week after, and it's not a big issue. So sometimes it's a lot of positive self-talk also, I would say, you know.
Yeah, so does that then, the issue of guilt, because obviously when you, especially when you just talked about there, the work, you want to achieve more in your working life, you know, it's important to you to maintain the career and the work. But then if you spend too much time on it, you feel guilty potentially that you're spending too much time on that, so not enough time with your child. Or if you spend too much time with your child and your family, you're not spending enough time on your business. But it sounds like the way you're talking about the self-talk and the positive self-talk, does that help you, I suppose, deal with any feelings of parental guilt or work guilt that come up?
Yes, yes, it helps me a lot. I think it's really important because we tend to be really harsh on ourselves. I do, you know, the to-do list, like we all have a to-do list. And I'm just, before I would be anxious sometimes if I wasn't able to do everything. And now I'm just like, you know, I'm more relaxed. And I think, just try to do your best. And I'm just like, if I have done one thing of this to-do list today, that's all right. You know, this is not the end of the world. But I think now this year, actually, I found a good balance, but also in your private life and relationship, because when you have a partner or you're married, or even if you're single, you know, to have this time to give to your romantic relationship, you know. Mm-hmm. So really it's like juggling parenting, but also your romantic life, your work. And it's a constant work in progress we are doing as humans. So, yeah, this year we found a really good balance. Romantic life, we've decided like we needed to have a date every week. Mm. Couldn't miss the date. Because it's important to us to have fun, not talk about schools or, you know, children's things. And also when we are with friends, it's not the same because you're not connecting together. So, yeah, last year was a more because my husband changed to work and my daughter's activities, she has so many things going on. So this year we took, it was a lot of organization, like how do we balance our life? And so, yeah, guilt, I think we all have guilt and all the time we are parents. Sometimes we try to be assertive, no, and to do our best, but sometimes we are failing or we can't make them happy all the time. And so, yes, we feel guilty, but guilt is part of being alive. I mean,
yeah, it's about managing it, isn't it? I think, like you say, there are so many emotions which are just part of human nature. You can't suppress everything, probably quite unnatural to suppress everything. So we're always going to feel guilt about things. We're going to feel regret about things we wish we had done. We're going to feel anger, frustration, all of the emotions that come with being a human being. But I think then it's how do we deal with those emotions mm-hmm. in the moment? And what are our strategies for dealing with them so they don't become overwhelming or lead us into a mental health space, for example. So I think, as you say, the positive self-talk for you helps really well when it comes to guilt. Yeah. And when you talked about your romantic life there, it's about priorities. But what do you need to give you energy, positive energy, so that you can be the best mum, the best employee, the best wife, the best friend?
Yeah, so I have a lot of self-discipline. Some people think, they don't think this. They see self-discipline as being like kind of rigid. Mm. And I really differ here. Like it's not like that. It's having self-discipline helps you reach whatever this is you want to reach and find, you know, the answers you need to make that happen. So it doesn't have to be with being rigid, I think, in my opinion. So I have a lot of self-discipline and I have a daily routine. So in the morning, I would set a goal for the day. So if I'm waking myself up and I feel in a bad mood, my goal would be, no, today you're going to have so much fun. And so I'm focusing on this on that day, you know. And then I will go to drop off if I have to go on that day. And when I come back, I try to always start with my workout. So I exercise every day, even if it's 10 minutes, but I need to do that so I can start, you know. And I do also cold showers.
Oh, you do? You're one of those? Okay, that's good. I've tried. So, going.
I know it's hard, and in winter it's really hard. So I don't do it for a long time, but I do it every day because it helps with your nervous system, you know. So it calms you down and you're more, you know, you're ready for the day. And
how long is long enough then in a cold shower? What's the minimum?
No, I think the minimum, it's 1 minute.
Okay.
Yes, but it depends if you like it or not. If it helps you, it's always this thing. What helps me might not help you, and what helps you might not help me. So it's really finding your strategies, what's working for you, and having those tools now you can use. But yeah, self-regulation is really an important thing, and it's a lot of practicing self-love, self-compassion, self. Mm-hmm. And what I would say, a lot of times, instead of reacting when something happens or you're triggered or you're very overwhelmed and you would react, I always try to pause a few seconds maybe have a glass of water, the cleansing effect of the water, and, you know, and just and then answer, but not react to something that would be triggering or you know, that would start a fight or a discussion or a conversation. So there's a lot of things, but it's really healthy for families and even when your kids are a bit bigger to write down all your triggers, you know, being late, feel that I'm unheard, unseen, and, you know, my opinion doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And write all those triggers. And then as a family reunion, you share your trigger. When mommy is late, you know how I, you know, I get upset, I'm a bit stressed. And so everybody knows what each other triggers are. And so it's easier, I find, to have find this harmony in the family and understand each other. Because a lot of times we want our children to understand us. We are busy. We have so many things. We have work. But then do we really understand ourselves? That's the question. So they can't understand us if we don't really understand ourselves and what is triggering, what is overwhelming me or make me crossed or all those things.
Yeah, so, and also it's about communicating. So once you've understood yourself better, as you've just said, you have to then communicate that to your nearest and dearest, people who are impacted by that and vice versa. Yes. So you can try and other manage through difficult situations or particular scenarios that might trigger you or another person in the family.
Yes. And yeah, and the romantic side, like you were asking for that, I think it's like when you've been with someone for so many years and you've been building things and you've been through lots of challenges, moving, changing jobs, and then you become a parent. And so, and I think it's important, like, to realize that maybe our dreams are different now than before. And maybe I need other things from you than before now, you know. I need to connect more. I need to have fun with you so the sparkle keeps alive, you know. Because for me, watching a TV show, it's not a way of connecting with my husband, you know. So when people... We all do that, I think, at night. It's like, so we have a little talk and then we watch TV. This is not a way for me to, you know, to maintain the sparkle alive. So it's just like always like checking in your relationship and be like, is it going the way you want it to go? Do you feel fulfilled? Do you feel, you know, what do you need from me? And so we... Because I work with couples too, so I have a lot of exercise to help them, you know, feel good together. And because it's also easy, like we said before, with practicing gratitude, it's easier to see what they're not doing than to acknowledge what they're actually doing and you know, and value them for that. So, yes, it's a lot of work, but the more you age, I would say, the more you realize that everything we do is work. So as parents, we are always working on our parenting skills and being assertive and being, you know, a good enough parent. And in our work life is the same. So we are working on trying to find what's really like our purpose. When you find your purpose, it's a really happy feeling, but then it's like, how do I make that happen or satisfy? And in your relationships with friends, everything is work all the time. And if you think it like that, it's really exhausting just to think about it. But no, if you take it, like I said, just try to do it little by little. Today, I don't have time to be with friends. Never mind, I will do that on the weekend. Mm. Yeah. And to be like really, yes, pragmatic about it.
Yeah, and I think back to your comment about the relationships, especially parenting relationships. Obviously, when we have kids, as individuals, we change. You know, our priorities obviously change. Our values might be in question. We might review what's important to us. Of course we do. We have a different purpose. All these things going on in our own minds. And the same is happening for the father or mother of that child, the other person. And they might get to a different place with their values and what their parenting priorities are and how they want to parent. and what the blueprint of their parents were on them is very different to the other person in the relationship or in the parenting relationship. So, but I don't think we ever sit down, I say we as in parents generally, with each other and say, right, now we're parents. What's your view on parenting? What's your view on parenting? What's important to you now? What triggers are different? I don't think people have that conversation. We just kind of go blindly into parenthood with this, you know, baby thrown at us 100 miles an hour, and we're expected just to deal with it. And I don't think we have to actually stop and talk to each other about how does this affect us now as parents and individuals. And, you know, it's only something I've started doing with my husband more recently, but my daughter's 13 soon. And it's taken us all this time to actually, because she's a teenager, so we have to talk about her more. I think it's just important to do that as early as possible, and actually get back on the same page.
Yes. Yeah. Because, yeah, that's the thing is, I think a lot of parents think, oh, but we're seeing friends, we're having dinner, so we're having a life apart from the kids and we are together with, but it's not the same that really being together and still looking in the same direction, you know, still looking at the future together and what is left to build, because it's not the day you have children, like this is the end, we've built everything we wanted and we have the house and we, you know. And so it's like really always like maintaining this mindset, like we are together and still, you know, maintain to be satisfied with our relationship and the way it goes. And obviously it's a marriage, it's like everything in life, it's ups and downs, and sometimes it's more difficult and sometimes, and yes, it's a lot of talking and communicating, but a lot of people think, I'm listening to him or her when they're talking, but yeah, you're listening, but are you paying attention? Mm-hmm. Paying attention is not the same thing than you listening and thinking of your to-do list or what you're going to do tonight, you know? So it's a lot of little, again, little micro steps and you being aware, you know, what you like, because also what you like, you don't like, it changes, you know, when you're aging. So it's always like, yeah, checking in, sharing with your partner. But and yes, it's a lot of work, but it's also beautiful, I think. And I think when you're able to do that and to still, you know, fall in love with each other and find this admiration, or they're surprising you with a new skill or a new thing, it's just wonderful. You can fall in love with the same person a few times for marriage, you know? So, yes.
That's a beautiful sentiment to end on, Camille. Thank you so much. Oh, it's not surprising coming from someone with such a beautiful French accent as well that we end on a romantic note like that.
Thank you for sharing your journey
and your strategies and your management. I think a lot of that will resonate with so many people. So if you want to find out more about you or your new business, where's the best place to find you?
So you can find me on Instagram. My account is Once Upon a Time a Parent. And then you can find me on my website, Once Upon a Time a Parent at onceuponaparent.uk.co. I think it is, yes.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes anyway, so we can find you, I'm sure.
Okay. Oh, I'm confused now. Yes, so yes, you can find on my Instagram page, it's a lot of mindfulness habits and a lot of concepts to have a more positive life and focus on the positive. And we've touched on this a little today. Yes.
Yeah, perfect. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Have a wonderful day, wonderful Easter. It's almost Easter for this recording timing.
Yeah, and just the sun on your side of London.
Yes, there is sun. There is sun coming through the window. Spring has sprung.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you. It was really nice to have a chat with you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Camille. To work with me, find out more at aishamari.com, connect with me on LinkedIn, or check out my free resources and quizzes at aishamari.com/resources.